Welcome back to another week of Starting to Scale. The weeks just seem to be flying by at the moment, and we've only got this and another two episodes, and then it's the end of series two, and then coming back in September with something a little bit different. Today, I am talking with Jamie Capaldi about one of my favourite topics, LinkedIn. If you know me, you will probably know I spend far too much time on LinkedIn. I absolutely love it there. It's a great community of supportive, engaging people. I've learned so much. I created so many great strategic partnerships, and yeah, I just love it. I think it's been a great platform for me. And Jamie and I talk about the power of LinkedIn and the joys of LinkedIn and how you can use it to help you get more brand, get more awareness, get more clients, get more leads, and also to find strategic partners. So in this episode, we cover off a lot about the kind of content that you could create, the kind of content that is engaging for people, and also how he goes about connecting with decision makers. Jamie and Janine run a lead generation agency, so they are on LinkedIn a lot, and he has got so much insight to share with us. So I'm going to let him introduce you and we can get on with the show.
So I run a lead generation agency with my wife Janine, Janine Capaldi. So basically, our main focus is LinkedIn. We help B2B brands build awareness of their products and services, and we also help them generate leads for their business. And we do that predominantly organically on LinkedIn.
Can you just explain the difference between organic and paid?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So organic. So we're using the platform organically, as in we're just using it in its natural form. So we're not paying to be in front of people. We're not paying to be in front of our client's target audience. We are using the platform naturally to build awareness of the products and services through content production, but also connecting and starting conversations, relationships with their target market naturally, as you can connect with anybody on the network.
I know, it's fantastic, isn't it, LinkedIn, the way that you can connect with people and the way that you can find strategic partners and all that kind of thing. And that's really interesting, because I've heard that the paid ads are, you know, is an expensive way to go. I haven't actually met that many businesses who are using paid ads at the moment. But so is there a reason why you've decided to go for the organic route rather than the paid route? Do you get better results, or is it just that the paid advertising can be so expensive that it doesn't always make sense?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we do run ads for businesses, and they are very expensive. We generally find the ROI from using the platform organically is much higher. And what we've just found is that generally we work with businesses that want to start a conversation, start relationships with people which are generally quite hard to reach. So in terms of advertising world, it costs a lot of money to influence these people. But we find that naturally connecting, starting conversations with these people organically within LinkedIn is just a more effective way of doing things. And we managed to start conversations with, you know, generally very hard to reach individuals that are, you know, the decision makers and hold the budgets and are the types of people that are, you know, our clients want to talk to. Whereas, you know, in ad world, it's quite hard, you know, you have to, you know, go through quite a lot of stakeholders to get to the decision makers in ads. And a lot of people will, you know, sign up for something on an ad, like an ebook or something, and they'll never read it. Or, you know, they won't generally engage after they've become a lead. So we just find that the types of leads you generate organically on LinkedIn and B2B world, they're such higher value than you get through paid traffic.
I always wonder that with my lead magnet. I look at who's downloaded it and then I kind of think, oh, did they actually even read it? And you don't know, do you? I mean, sometimes you get some feedback. But I think one of the things that you kind of mentioned that's so important is when you're buying something that's a high ticket item, you've got to know, like, and trust that brand or that person so much. And therefore, building a relationship and having those conversations is getting you much closer to that prospect, because you know they're getting to know, like, and trust you, because we're actually having real conversations with them. And so how do you find these people? How do you go about finding these, you know, high level execs or the people that have got the budgets, and how do you start that conversation?
Yeah, so we try to use as natural process as possible. Real focus on relationship marketing, and trying to build rapport with people and naturally start a conversation about, you know, what you have to offer and what our clients have to offer and how it can help them. Generally, we start as any B2B world is, just, you know, you start with your list. So we are creating lists. Generally, we find, you know, if you use Sales Navigator, it's the best way of really refining your list, because you can really, you know, find granular elements within businesses that help your targeting. So you can target by size of the organization, the headcount. They can even go by the past history of the person you're targeting, what companies they used to work for rather than where they're working now. So you can almost get someone who's been in an industry for a long time and maybe gone through some of the top companies to find someone who's going to be very, very high up within an organization and may naturally not just be the end decision maker, but might have a network that you want to be accessing, because, you know, they're going to be connected to other people that you might want to speak to as well. So it starts with the list, and then we naturally, you know, we connect with those people for our clients, X amount of people per day. And then we try to take them through a natural sequence where, you know, we will start conversations with them, but we will also back those conversations up with content production, engagement, etc. So you have a real holistic social strategy where, you know, these targets are getting hit by multiple touch points.
And do you find that these people are quite receptive to getting those messages? Presumably you're direct messaging them. Are they quite receptive to your messages, and or is it very much, you know, one in a few will answer, but because it's a numbers game and eventually those prospects are worth quite a lot, it makes sense?
Yeah, it really, really depends. It depends on your industry, what you have to offer, and how aligned it is with the person you're targeting. You know, for some people, we get such a high response rate because it's so specific what they can help particular companies with, that you know that everyone you're contacting, as long as you've done the targeting correctly, you know you can help that exact person. So it means the response rate is quite high. For more generic services, you know, you get less responses and it's more, slightly more of a numbers game. But as long as you're consistent and you have the right sequence and the right timing, you know, you are going to get responses. They don't always happen overnight. I mean, for example, even like personally, I it's a funny story, I sent a message to someone 12 months ago and they replied to it 12 months later. They read the message, they didn't reply to it, but then they replied to me 12 months later saying, yes, I, you know, now I want to talk to you. It stuck in my head that you did this. I didn't have a need for it at the time, but now I'm looking at it and I remember that you did it because you messaged me. So you stick in the front of my mind and now I want to talk about it. And they signed up as a client, you know, a couple of weeks later. So it's about a drip feed. Staying front of mind in terms of your messaging, but staying front of mind in terms of your content as well, making sure you're visible. So you just want, it all sort of links into one holistic strategy, which is about keeping you at the forefront of people's mind for a particular product and service. So if someone thinks of something like business coach, copywriter, you know, whatever it is, you want to be the first name that comes to their mind.
Totally. It is about showing up, isn't it? And as you said, it's the multiple touch points. So they see you through your content, they remember they got direct message. And actually, I suppose the interesting thing about the direct message is that they can always go back and look at that. Whereas when they saw a bit of content that they liked or engaged with, they might not be able to remember who it was. But I quite like having all my messages in there. Do you ever use the voice messages?
I've done a few. I haven't used it extensively. It's harder for us to do that for clients.
Yeah, I suppose so. They're like, hang on a minute, there's a woman speaking then. I'm only saying that because I really like them, but sometimes I go for a walk and I don't do it for, like, you know, potential clients, but if I've got strategic partners or people like you, When I'm on my walk, I just do little voice messages. And I always find I get a really good response from that. People always say, oh, I really like getting a voice message.
Yeah, it's a good way of doing it. I think it's probably better for a warm crowd rather than a cold crowd.
But I'm really interested to know what content works well. So you're posting, so you're doing sort of outreach to prospective clients through direct messaging and through following them and through engaging with their content. And then presumably you're creating content for your clients. Yeah. What kind of content do you find works well?
It's a real mixture, really. I think the key is variety. I think LinkedIn likes that as well. What we did find, you know, a while ago was video was killing it, but the video is not killing it as much now. The views have gone down. You have to get a lot more engagement to get good views on video. But there's an argument behind that that doesn't matter as much because video is really, you know, pushing across your personality, your ethics, your values, and just you get to know someone a lot better through a video rather than through a written post. So I think it's a variety. So, you know, text posts generally work, you know, generally get the best in terms of, you know, reach, we find. But video, you know, I'd mix in a few of those PDFs, documents as well. We find they work quite well. And generally just rotate between those three.
As you were saying about the video, what was really interesting, I did a video recently and I was just saying, hi, everyone. You know, loads of people in my network I haven't spoken to for ages. This is what I'm doing. Let me know what you're doing. And someone saw that and contacted me and asked me to come on a webinar because I was right for his webinar. And then through that, I've met loads of great people in his network. And it just made me think if I hadn't done that video, I wouldn't have that. I don't think that would have ever happened because, as you said, it's letting people get to know you, isn't it? And get to know the personality of the brand and gets people to know, like, and trust you. So, yeah. I suppose video is just a bit more time consuming, but interesting. You talk about the document mm-hmm. share. Do you find that's a good way to get traction and engagement?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think so. I mean, what you could do, I mean, the thing with LinkedIn content, you don't want to reinvent the wheel every time you do a piece of content. So you could start with one piece of content, one central bit of content, which could be something you even put on your website, like a blog, an article, whatever it is. And then you can make that into a video. You could summarize that in a PDF document. You can regurgitate the same information a few times through LinkedIn in different formats, but it looks like fresh content and new content. And because people engage with different content, it's a good way of making, you know, your stuff stretch a little bit further. So yeah, that's what we try to do. We generally start, you know, we use our clients, you know, what our clients are doing already, but we'll create stuff for them as well, but then we'll try and regurgitate it for them through a few different formats, and then obviously we'll twist their arm to do video for us as well, because obviously we can't do that for them. So yeah, we get them to do that as well. But we'll format it up, tailor it, make it look nice, and then put it out there for them. And it works well. It's really good in terms of the video is really good for story. You know, think story, because like I mentioned before, we started. You know, we came on recording. We work with a couple of charities as well, and getting the almost like cause marketing, like the story behind why you're doing something, and in your, you know, where you are, startup world, who you work with, the story of the journey and why they're doing stuff and where they're at, what they're struggling with, what's working well, what they need help with, that's really powerful. And documenting that journey through social media, especially LinkedIn, is really effective. And you can do that in so many different formats, like I mentioned, the PDFs, the video, the text posts. But I think that's a really great way of gathering a following. And it works B2C well. We work with, you know, someone who in B2C who was creating a new soap product. And they basically, we did some coaching and consulting with them. And we were just trying to teach them how to tell their story online. And they just gathered this huge following from telling their story about what they're doing and, you know, asking people's feedback on packaging and all this kind of stuff. And it works really well because it just engages your audience and it just gets their buy-in to what you're doing.
That's such great advice. I've got a new client, actually, a natural deodorant brand, and they've got amazing imagery. They've got an amazing story. Like you said, they're West End performers and, you know, all their friends in the West End wanted a deodorant that was natural because they didn't, you know, they were sweating so much. And the backstory is, you know, the whole thing that they're doing is incredible. And I keep saying, you've got to get on LinkedIn. You've got to get on LinkedIn. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. It's a great opportunity because people, people don't always just want to see the end product. There's a lot of end products out there. But if you get people buying during the journey, they're much more likely to buy that product at the end and be a loyal brand ambassador for you. It's almost like building your minimal viable audience before you're even ready to launch and bring people along the journey with you. And that's really powerful on social. A lot of people just think everything has to be polished at the end, and you know, you just want to be, you just want to portray yourself in this huge company that is really switched on, has loads of customers, and demonstrate how you can help similar customers. But it doesn't always work like that, you know, because not everyone's in that position, and there's a lot of companies that do that. So how do you stand out? Well, let's take people through your journey, show people that you are human. And even vulnerable as a business, you know, challenging times at the moment, and a lot of startups, I'm sure, are feeling it. Talk about it, and take people on your journey, and you will just create connections, partnerships, all these kind of things that, you know, beyond you'd ever achieve if you were just focusing on waiting until you're perfect.
I think that's so, what I found really interesting is a couple of times on LinkedIn when I've been kind of struggling with something and I was like, I'm not going to post it. And then I've just posted it and it's a really vulnerable post. One of them I remember was about saying I've been feeling really lonely working on my own and how I'd talked to my husband about how it's really lonely. And I come up with this kind of strategy and suddenly everyone was like, I feel lonely working on my own. I feel the same, you know, and that's something that we don't talk about as founders or business owners, that can be really lonely. And so are you helping, is that one of the things that you're doing with your clients? You're getting their story and then you're sharing it through the content that you create for them?
Yeah, as much as we can. Yeah. I mean, you know, some clients will just, you know, want us to do certain things, which is fine. And it might not necessarily be about story and things, and you know, those kind of areas, it'd be more about professional. This is, you know, we help you achieve X or Y. But wherever we can, we try and dig in of the why, try and dig into the why. You know, why are you doing this? Because the why makes you unique. There's so many business, so many options for consumers for every type of business now. You know, you have to be pretty lucky to have a very unique service offering nowadays. So your why is going to help, you know, make you different, and it works so well, especially in charities, because you know they're so passionate about their why.
Yeah.
Why they work for that charity, but their causes are so amazing, but they're quite timid in sharing that. A lot of them want to be better at doing that, and we try and help them do that, but the ones that we've got hold of and helped, you know, with storytelling and these different areas, it's just their, you know, their engagement has just gone through the roof, and they just get inbound inquiries about what they're doing, support, all these kind of things. It's just going to raise their profile and raise their brand. And ultimately what these guys want is more corporate partners, more, you know, high paying corporate partners. And you know, it's a great way of achieving that and elevating their brand, because, you know, there's so many niches that are so competitive that, you know, you've got to stand out, and it is a great way of standing out without just, you know, posting, I don't know, pictures of dogs chasing cats or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't see many charities posting on LinkedIn. Is that just me? Are there lots, or is it just that there aren't? And then the second part of that question would be, as a charity, is it the charity that posts as a charity sort of company page, or are you encouraging the owners, founders, senior team to be posting? Because my understanding was that you get much more traction when it's a person that's posting about something rather than a company or an organization.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the general way that charities work so far, that everything will go through a corporate communications team, or their internal communication team, which everything will just go through up to their business profiles, and it'll be a very set tone. And you know, I think they have to be relatively careful about what they say, which is why I think they get less empowerment for the people that are working for the business in terms of what they can post and what they can say. But as you just rightly mentioned, we all know that, you know, you get the most reach, the most engagement, if you're posting through an individual account as a person. You're building your personal brand, and then So I think it's a barrier. It's a mindset thing that I think some, you know, businesses, not just charities, I think it can get it a lot in in businesses as well, B2B businesses. They don't want to empower their employees to do this because they're scared of what they're going to say. But, you know, if they've got the right training and the right guidelines, then it's a risk worth taking, because the reach and awareness that they will generate through their personal accounts is so much more than a business account. And then if you multiply that across several team members, then you're just going to, you're going to fly, and you're going to have so much, you're going to get really big results compared to if you just keep it to your business profile.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's kind of like if your team are happy to post about it, and they probably are because they're, you know, hopefully proud about the business that they're working for, that does just give you such a huge reach, which is incredible. So I suppose it's just about training the team and giving them some basic training about what works and how to act. And I think a lot of people probably do feel a bit scared of LinkedIn if they haven't, if they're not familiar with it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, like I say, it's about having the training, but making sure that the company's bought into that training, so that you're creating a culture of what the future is going to hold. A culture of, all employees that come and get the training, and then we want them to shout about what they do and what we do as a business. And so few B2B businesses and charities do that. That it's a huge opportunity to differentiate yourself. It's a real source of, I think, a competitive advantage that that businesses aren't taking advantage of. But it's just about having the right training to do that, but creating the right culture, so that employees feel confident to do it, be empowered to do it. And with some of these more corporate organizations that we've trained, it's come apparent the staff are a little bit nervous about doing it because they're not sure what the company's going to think about it. So it's not just training, it's a culture thing. Yeah? So everyone's got to have to buy into it. And that's important. And I think, especially for your listeners, Amy, what a great opportunity for a startup to gain traction, generate awareness by laying the sort of right structure in to begin with, empowering the staff. So as they grow, everyone's doing this and bought into it, and they're just going to, they're just going to generate awareness that would cost thousands in paid ads.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. So it's a missed opportunity, I think.
Yeah, and actually one of my new clients has started becoming much more active on LinkedIn, and she's getting really, really good traction. It's really positive to hear her saying she's kind of growing to love it. Because when you've been on LinkedIn a while, you love it because you love all the people and everyone. It's such a supportive community, don't you think? I mean,
yeah, definitely.
I find the network incredible. I could ask a question about some help that I need and I instantly get it. I find everyone so supportive and kind. They are in the network that I'm part of, but I think that's a really good call, what you suggested, and I am going to talk to my clients and my future clients about that. For them, it's a real opportunity for them to document their journey, talk about the ups and downs of launching a business, which is never easy, but also, like you said, to get feedback and thoughts. And it's funny you said that, actually, because I said to the guys that got the deodorant that I want 20 customers to test their product from the website through to getting the product delivered and through using it. And we're going to put it out on LinkedIn and see who wants to do it. They'll get some amazing free deodorant, and in return, they'll have to give us a bit of feedback. So I've used it before, actually. I think Janine signed up for something when I did some research.
I did it, the fitness thing.
Oh, you did it? Yeah.
Yeah, I did it. I'm still going as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm still going. Yeah, I'm doing it 6 a.m. in the morning.
That's brilliant.
It's changed. Yeah, it's really helped. It's given me the motivation and the platform to actually just start, looking after my health a little bit more in terms of fitness and that kind of thing. So
it's so good. Oh, that's made my day. I didn't realise that, because obviously once I handed over the beta testers to my client, I obviously then, I don't have anything to do with it, but that's so good. I'm so pleased about that. Well, that's a really positive note. We'll wrap up now, because I like to keep these sort of 20, 25 minutes, but it's been so amazing chatting to you. I think as you've shown, whether you're a B2B, a B2C, whatever kind of business you are, it's all about human connection, and it's all about building relationships. And it's, as you said, it's about sharing your story. And I think we, that can be difficult at times, can't it? But I think as soon as you start to do it and you see that people are kind and engaging, then it becomes easier. Jamie, where can people find you? On LinkedIn, obviously.
Yeah, LinkedIn. Instagram. LinkedIn. So LinkedIn. People can jump on. Jamie Capaldi, just come and connect and, you know, say hi.
Yeah, I'll put a link to your website and your profile in the show notes.
And I think people also, as a final note, is on audiences on LinkedIn, is that people sometimes think that LinkedIn's just about, and social media is just about reaching your end consumer, your end client. But it's not about that at all. From the relationships we've built, we have introducers, we have channel partners, we have clients. So it's about building your network where people can refer you. But one relationship might be worth 20 clients or something like that, if it's the right relationship. So it's worth bearing in mind that there's so many different types of audiences on LinkedIn that you can build in terms of your network and your connections and relationships with, that, there's just so many angles you can cover that it's just, it covers so many bases. It's a really great network.
Well, brilliant. It's absolutely lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much. And hopefully, and keep up with good work with your fitness. That's brilliant.
Thanks for the prompt to make me do it. It was your post.
Okay. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Starting to Scale with Emmy Faust. That's me. It has been great to have you listening again this week. If you know other founders that are looking to grow profitable, sustainable businesses, then please do let them know about this. And it would make my day if you leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you are enjoying from this podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can do that through my website, emmyfaust.com. And don't forget, I've got lots of great resources on my website. Go to emmyfaust.com/free. Have a fantastic week, and I look forward to catching up with you again next week.